Hi, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people. I'm your host, Neetu Da, and this is my show, Convictions and Contradictions, otherwise known as CEC, probably the only radio show to ever be subtitled, ironically. For those of you who may be listening to the show for the first time, it's about social observations that I make in my, you know, my daily life. At the same time, I only play instrumental music on the show, so don't expect to hear any music with the lyrics or words to it. So there are a few instrumental songs that have where a person's using their vocals as an instrument, but I still consider that as instrumental music, so don't be too nitpicky about instrumental music and its definition. I'd also like to let everybody know that you can find this show in many places. So it's completely accessible and available, just like a lot of other things need to be in our society. You can find it on the CITR website at citr.ca. If you search, it might not work with my name if you just search Neetu, but it'll definitely work if you search convictions or contradictions. It'll come up. You can also, and through the CITR website, you can also find different links to my YouTube channel, which I also have posted episodes, not all of them. You can also find my Facebook page and my email if you ever want to, you know, contact me, say something to me, whatever it may be. So there's a lot of ways you could reach me. If that doesn't work for you, if you're more familiar with just calling CITR or whatever your method is, if you're able to contact someone here, they should be able to direct you as how to get to me. It's all about communication and how you can reach me. I'm accessible. I'm not just a voice that you hear over the radio. You can get to me. You can. And also, something new here at CITR is Discorder Magazine is changing a bit. Discorder Magazine has been going on for a long time, and now we're going into the new age of Discorder. Discorder is usually released or distributed every month. We have an issue every month, but now we're going into a two-month issue this time around. The format is going to be different, so you should check out the new issue. It's longer, it's more colorful, there's a lot going on with the new issue, and luckily I get to be a part of it. I not only am I involved at CITR and Discorder through the show, through Convictions and Contradictions, or CC, which is much easier and shorter to say, I also illustrate for the magazine here and there whenever I get the chance. So I will be in the new issue. I find that whenever I like say, oh, I'd like to be part of the new issue, I'd like to illustrate for it, well, I always end up in like milestone issues. Like I think a while back, not too long ago, we had the 400th issue of Discorder, and I didn't know that when I asked to be part of it. I just ended up being part of it, and then our former editor was leaving, and it was her last issue of Discorder, and I also, you know, I want to be part of it. I raised my head. So, you know, electronically, not a real way. It's not like everybody's brought together here and everybody wants to illustrate, raise their hand. I mean, assembly of people is hard to get. It's hard to gather people together, and if you're good at it, gosh, you have a skill that I'm not very good at. So I've just gotten to be part of a lot of milestone issues here at Discorder. Not on purpose. I'm not doing this strategically. It just happened to go that way. My luck isn't down in the dumps. My luck isn't too bad. I have pretty good luck, it seems. So that's a lot of what's going on at CITR right now, the new Discorder issue. And now, it's for the main event, what you've all been waiting for. Coming down the radio airwaves is Neetu's new episode, The Convictions and Contradictions. In this show, like always, it will be about social observations. And this time, it will be focused on a classroom sort of setting. And also on me, I suppose, on my type of person. You see, when I was a kid, let's start with the childhood story. When I was a kid, I was extremely, extremely shy. I was very shy. That was like that was the one word that could define me. I was just shy. When I was born and cousins and family members would come over to my house or my parents' house and come see me, want to hold me, things like that, I wouldn't want them to hold me. I wouldn't go to them. I would just start crying because I didn't want anybody I didn't know to hold me. I was just so shy. I was so shy as a kid that the cops, the police were called to the house. So it was just, you know, a regular day. I was notified somehow that some cousins, some people I don't know well, are going to come to the house. And usually, you know, when someone comes to your house, you greet them, you sit down, you share tea or whatever beverage or snacks that you have. I always hated doing that because I felt just shy, uncomfortable. I didn't want to meet anybody. I don't know, embarrassed. I don't really know too much about my feelings then. But they would come over, and whenever they would, I would avoid them at all costs. So what I did when these certain people came over, I don't even remember who it was, I went into my room and I hid under the bed and I stayed there. And, you know, they kept saying, oh, where's Nichu? You know, I'd like to see her. I'd like to meet her. I mean, why do you want to see me? You're not there to really see me. You're going to spend a second on me. But that second is devastating to me. So I don't want to meet you at all. Just give up on it. But of course they won't. So my mom starts looking for me. Everybody's trying to find me, look for me. I think they did come into my room to look for me, but they couldn't find me. They didn't look under the bed, or if they did, they didn't see me. So I was under the radar. But then they get all concerned because they can't find me. They can't find me. They don't know where I am. So they call the police. And then the police come over, and they're, you know, searching the house and doing whatever the police does, and they couldn't find me either. They searched the house, or maybe they searched the house. It was a childhood memory. My memory is based on what I sort of remember and what other people have told me. So they leave, and the people who came over, they left because they thought, you know, you have to find her. You're dealing with this situation. This isn't the best time for us to, you know, be chatting leisurely over tea. So they leave. And then when I know that they have left, that's when I finally come out. I finally come out, and I don't know what happens after that. I don't know what the police say or how that wrapped up. Like, oh, she was under the bed. We're fine. The police, I wonder what they were thinking at the time. Like, oh my gosh, these parents, how don't they know that? Or how idiotic are we to not find this kid just under the bed? That's how shy I was. I was so shy that 911 had to be called. But since then, I have really broken out of my shyness. I mean, look at me now. I mean, you can't really look at me. But hear me now. Listen to me now. You can hear my voice now. I'm speaking to you. I'm not avoiding you anymore. I'm speaking out and a medium that works for me. So I guess you could say, you know, you're so shy. I mean, you're on the radio. We only hear your voice. We don't even really know who you are. We don't see you. You're still hiding behind a microphone, hiding behind the radio's airwaves, hiding like a person commenting on social media. But hey, I am making progress. I'm doing much better from when I was a kid. I'm definitely not as shy anymore. Though it's something I think I still deal with. Sometimes things can be difficult for me. And that's how I'm going to segue into what I really want to talk about during this show. I want to talk about something that may seem obvious to everybody. But you know, sometimes the things that are so obvious we just miss. Sometimes we just miss the obvious thing. Like, has this ever happened to you where you're going to the fridge and say you're looking for ketchup? I don't know if you keep ketchup in your fridge. Though let's not go into that debate. Do you keep ketchup in your fridge? No, you need to keep it outside on the counter. I don't know what your system is. But let's go with something less controversial. Milk. Okay, everybody keeps milk in their fridge. If you don't, you really should. So, let's say you're going to the fridge. You're going to get milk. And you look in the fridge and you don't see the milk. You can't find it. You keep looking and looking, but you just don't see it. And then maybe a cousin, some sort of family member, someone you know, comes by and they open the fridge. You're like, the milk is right here. It's right in front of your face. It's just so obvious, and yet you just miss it. Has that ever happened to you? That happens. It doesn't happen a lot now, but I don't know. It used to happen a few times to me in the past where I would... There was another time where I had finished eating, I was taking my dishes to the kitchen, but for some reason I just walked to the bathroom. I have no idea what happened there. But sometimes those obvious things they're not obvious. They're not pointed out to you every day. You forget things. And something that is obvious is that people have their own strengths. People have their own difficulties, things that they find difficult. And you might find that other people's difficulties are just ridiculous. Like, people say this all the time. Like, how can you be so bad at this? This is just so easy. How do you not understand this? How do you not get it? I mean, I am totally guilty of saying those things myself. Sometimes we all have people over. I've had people over in the past, so not really my guests, but people over. And I've mentioned this on the show multiple times. I like to play video games. I'm a video game player. So whenever guests come over, finding something to do, maybe the conversation runs out. You say, oh, would you like to play a video game? Maybe, something where multiple players can play. Nintendo sort of games like Mario Kart, Mario Party, things like that. And whenever some of these guests try to play, sometimes I forget other people aren't so used to video game platforms and how the buttons and the options work. So sometimes I get frustrated just explaining it to people, or just sometimes I don't even know how to explain it because I feel like it's so fundamentally easy to figure out. It's like when you get a new phone or if you start playing with some sort of tablet, iPhone, iPad. It's easy to figure out if you just play around with it. I mean, even kids can just figure it out just playing around with it for a little bit. But these people, these guests, they just can't figure it out. They just don't know how to operate the system. And sometimes it's just so irritating. Like, how do you not know how to do this? You work with... I mean, the video game platform is not extremely different from how you might operate a computer. There's different buttons. The buttons have names for what they do. It's obvious, like add player. Press this button to start. Press this button to go back. To move the car forward, press 2 or A and then move the controller in what direction you want to go. I mean, how difficult is it really? I mean, that's my view. But some people just find it very difficult. They're not used to playing video games. They're not accustomed to technology. But my guess, they're not extremely old. They're like young adults in like their late 20s or something like that. And they still find it difficult. I know, I feel like this is more of a rant than acknowledging that people have different difficulties, but that's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that people have different difficulties, and that's something that I'm being reminded of recently. I recently started a new co-op position through the arts co-op program here at UBC, and there are some things, everybody has things where they just catch on quickly, whether it's in a working environment or a class setting or something you're discussing with friends or you're learning some sort of new technology or maybe a new hobby, sports, whatever it is. There's a few things that people just, they get fast. And other people, it takes a little more effort. It takes a little longer to understand. But maybe you get something very easily that someone else just struggles with for a long time. And what my trainers at my new co-op position keep reminding us is that sometimes it's just the way someone says something. Sometimes if you ask somebody to explain it again, explain it in a different way, use different words, just that helps. Just, it's like, it's just a click, it's just a snap. I'm not the best at snapping, you can't hear it over the microphone. Sometimes that's all you need. You just need it to be explained in a different way. That's why some people prefer some teachers over others, or some professors over others, because the way they explain things just makes sense to you. It's just clear and it's just crystal clear for you. But for others, the way this professor is explaining things just doesn't work for you. It's not your best way of learning. And we all learn different ways. Some of us are hands-on. Some of us, if you just say it to me, I'll remember it. Or actually, I need to read it. Even if you say all these things to me, it doesn't really connect. I need to read it out, and that way it works for me. People have different difficulties. They have different proficiencies. They're good at different things. And this all probably seems obvious. You probably heard it throughout your entire life. I know I've heard it many times. People are good at different things. People are different. People excel at different things. People are talented or gifted in something. And sometimes you might feel pressure. You might feel stress that I'm not catching on to this. I don't get this. All these other people around me are just, you know, they just got it. They're catching up fast. And I'm feel left behind. And then you might think, you know, I'm good at something else. Maybe I'm really good at cooking. But maybe you don't feel like that really counts in this field. Say if you're learning about computer science and you're struggling to learn some of the concepts and you see that other people are just catching on fast, asking questions with the professor, they're engaged, they're using words that you don't completely understand, and you just feel lost. Then what some people might recommend is think about what you're good at. Or try to think of it a different way. Think of what you're good at. Well, they might be good at this, but I am good at this. That's one way you might want, it's a way you might use to reclaim your self-esteem or your standing and not feel so left behind. I feel like that a lot whenever I meet someone or hear someone who sounds very knowledgeable or intellectual, or they just seem to understand things very quickly. I have, you know, one of those ugly human emotions of jealousy, where I feel jealous of what they have, and I feel bad that I'm not also at that level. I get that all the time. Especially, there's a lot of talk shows or TV shows that highlight smart kids, smart little kids, like, Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, or, Little Big Shots, or there's all these different shows highlighting kids, or talk shows that bring on kids who have done, you know, amazing things because they've done it at such a young age. Some people might feel very inspirational about that, like, oh, our kids are doing well, you know, they're innovating, they're engaging. Or you might feel it may give you inspiration to something, but that is completely and utterly in the opposite direction of how I feel. I feel so bad whenever I see those videos, or in like my news scroll, if I see something about a kid who's really young, who's achieved so much, I just, my self-esteem and confidence just plummets. Like, oh my gosh, why wasn't I such a genius, smart little kid too? And how are they smarter than me at such a young age? There's always this expectation in society that you have to achieve certain things at certain ages. But if you can achieve those things before that societal age, then it's just more impressive. Like if you create a website or an app or an organization that's successful very young, which most people might complete or succeed in when they're in their 20s or 30s or even 40s or even later than that. But if you can do that earlier on, like when you're like in your 10s, when you're in your 10s, like 10, 15, somewhere between that, it's just awesome. And I feel jealous, and I think of my little kid self, and I think, oh, why did you waste so much time playing cops and robbers, or playing different sports, or just playing video games and things like that? I just feel, just brings down my self-esteem. Like, why aren't I that brilliant too? It's a horrible feeling to get. So I try to avoid those videos at all costs for my own health. I need to avoid smart little kids for my health. That's what I need to do. And maybe some of you feel that way. Let's try and regain our self-esteem by listening to this next song. This next song, or rather this first song, is from the Urban Surf Kings from their album Astro Surf A Go-Go, who I've played a few times on the show. The last few shows I've played them quite frequently because it's just, whenever I think of this album, I just think groovy. That's just the word that comes to mind. And they have some cool titles for their songs. So, like, there's one called Street Cleaner, there's Galactic Shiver, there's Run From the Bear, there's Thunder Robot. Though I won't be playing any of those right now. I'll be playing Hot Pig Bites.
In the context of Vancouver's opioid crisis, CITR would like to take a moment to share some harm reduction strategies.
Try not to do drugs alone. When going out, let friends know what drugs you're taking and make sure someone has a naloxone kit. If you're able to, get your drugs tested before taking them.
Avoid mixing opioids with alcohol or stimulants. Remember that opioids can include painkillers prescribed by a doctor, and it's possible for any drugs to be contaminated with opioids.
Learn the signs of opioid overdose, which include, but are not limited to, unresponsiveness or unconsciousness, inability to speak, breathing that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, heartbeat that is slow, erratic, or has stopped completely, skin tone that has turned blue or gray, choking or gurgling sounds.
If you think someone is overdosing, call 911 immediately. Start rescue breathing and administer naloxone if you have it. You cannot get in trouble for being on drugs, so always call 911 in an emergency.
For more information about naloxone kits and training, visit towardtheheart.com.
Thank you and stay safe.
Independent pop duo Mating Rituals will be bringing their dance rock sound to the Biltmore Cabaret on October 18th with On and Glass Forest. Get your tickets now at mrgconcerts.com or Red Cat Records.
Hello and good morning to everybody listening in to CITR 101.9 FM. What was that? You don't know. It's 1.9 F as in flower, M as in meteor. So 101.9 FM. Sometimes through audio or over the phone, people don't know it. They don't know what you're saying. So you literally have to go letter by letter or number by number, especially with phone numbers or addresses. That can be difficult to communicate to someone over the phone. First you'll try to just say it. And then they might say, no, you're going a little too fast. So you'll slow it down. You'll say it a little slower. University of British Columbia. You'll like one word at a time. But if they still don't get it, like, I'm sorry, I still don't know what you're saying. Then you go, okay, I'll just spell it out for you. So you won't actually say that to the person. You'll be like, yeah, sure, I can spell it out for you if you still can't hear it. You know, you'll lower your voice a little bit. You'll make it much easier. But sometimes you really have to do that. You have to make sure the address is right, the phone number is right, because it's even worse to have to call back and say, you know, that number you gave me, it didn't work. Could you give it to me again? You know, to interrupt someone else's day and have to repeat it again because you got it wrong. That's even worse than going, saying, could you just repeat it again? I just want to make sure that everything's correct. When in doubt, just ask the person to repeat it. Can you just say it again? I didn't quite get it. And that's in any situation. If it's training, if it's a classroom lecture style, or if you're at a doctor's office or whatever office it is, or if you're just talking to someone, or if you're in a group of people and say they're talking about something. And that's happened a lot to me if I've entered like a group of people who's talking about something and I don't know what they're talking about. I'll just say, you know, I don't really know what that is. I don't really know what you're talking about. Could you just repeat it? Could you explain it to me? And then you're in the loop, and then you can ask more questions, and then you can be a part of it. But that's something that I struggle with also. These are some of my difficulties that I have. I have difficulty making friends or entering circles or groups, or I have struggles with that. When it comes to like professional networks or things like that, I feel like I'm more used to the dance. I'm more adjusted to it. It seems easier to say, oh, I'm interested in this position. Here are some of my qualifications. I'm just really interested. Here are my reasons why. That's easier to me. It's just, everything's clear. But when it comes to making friends, that's like hard. Like, I'm interested in your life. I would like you to be interested in my life. Let's spend time together. I mean, that's harder to say. That's harder to say because it's such a responsibility. It's such a big thing. And you can't say that directly to a person. I don't know how it works, how you just make a friend. To me, if I'm going to make a friend, I have to just be direct about it. Like, will you be my friend? I have to spell it out for them. Just like a phone number, I have to spell it out for you. Because otherwise, I don't think people really want to be my friend. But there are different types of friends that you have in your life. There are friends who are sort of, what's the word I want to use? Who are sort of fluid? No, that's not flaky, I suppose. A person who's just all over the place. Where they're not really sure what they're doing in life. They're doing different things. They're interested in different things. And they're an energetic type of person where it's easy for them to jump into a conversation or to say something, or, you know, they usually say words loudly. Then there are other people who are very, like, strict, diligent, all about school or work, all about accomplishment, whatever it is, all about reaching their goals. Then there's that quiet person who doesn't seem to want to interact with anybody, might interact for, like, a class activity or something. Besides that, they want to be left alone. Then there are people who are just very active. They're very, like, interested in everything. They're involved in so many clubs and so many organizations, and you just don't know where they're going. And then there are other people who have a lot of knowledge and information, and they know a lot of people in different areas. I don't have any of those friends. My friends are just, they're not really friends. They're more just, they're people that I know for a period of time throughout a course or job position, and throughout it we talk about things. You know, how was your day, how was your weekend? I try to keep up with them. I try to show interest in them. But when it's over, you know, you just fall apart. You go your separate ways and nothing really becomes of it. I think that's where my challenge comes in. I have trouble maintaining relationships, and that's what I've heard a lot from different people, from the people I'm currently doing my co-op term with, and, you know, other friends here at UBC, people I've met through CITR or through different positions. Even someone in my former position where I worked at a restaurant, there was a new person we hired, and they said a similar thing. They went to universities in London or England, and then they came here and they went to university here. And something that they pointed out to me was that it's hard to make friends at Canadian universities because everybody is very busy with their own schedules, and it seems impossible to make a friend. But they commented that while they were in school in London, it seemed like that wasn't it at all. It was easy to make friends. You were all sort of together, and it was just easy to do that. There are also people who know a lot of different types of people. They say it to you all the time. Like, I know a person starting a band. Oh, I know someone who donated blood and just fainted. Oh, I know someone who was in, like, this horrible car crash. They got high insurance, they were sued and everything. Oh, I know someone who went on that trail and they found like $500 just right there. I know someone who found a wallet who belonged to this very famous person. There's just this person who just knows all these different people. Oh, I know someone who's in the fishing business. Oh, I know someone who's in business. I know someone who's involved with that company. Oh, I know bioengineers. Oh, I know someone in nursing. They seem like they have this extensive network. Though I don't think they're very close with these people. They just memorized all these stories and whatnot, and then it's just such a good party asset to have, like, all those weird stories of different people. And this is a horrible quirk of mine, a trait of mine, where whenever someone has something I have that I sort of want to have, I feel jealous, or I feel envious of that person, you know, one of the seven deadly sins I definitely have those, and I recognize it, and it definitely does bring down my self-esteem that way, because there's a lot of things that I want to do. My biggest issue, I think, is I have goals that I want to achieve, but then I see that someone else has already achieved that goal, or if there's a skill that I want to learn. Like, let's say cooking. I want to learn how to cook, but I'm a beginner. I don't know much about it. And then I see, like, these kids on MasterChef Junior who know how to do everything and everything. I just feel so behind that I'll never catch up. Like, that's why I have to avoid those shows. Again, I need to avoid smart little kids, intelligent little kids, kids who have accomplished a lot, who have won, like, a national championship. I think I've talked about this before, but it's something that I need to avoid in my life to have a healthy lifestyle. This is another thing that I do, that maybe some of you also do. Whenever I'm complimented on something, or someone compliments me on something, where I took a summer course here at UBC, and I met an old friend, actually. This person who I went to high school with for, you know, all 5 years. We were in the same high school, took classes together. We both go to UBC. I had met her a few times throughout, like, my 3 years here. Just walking down the street. Oh, I see her, like, a wave, or if I saw her sitting down, I walked up to her and said, "Hi, you know, how are you doing? What are you up to?" We ended up having this class together. I didn't know she was in it. We don't keep up that way. We don't have each other's phone numbers or anything, or text on, like, Messenger or Facebook or anything. But we caught up during the class. We would both take the bus back to where we live. So on the way, we would walk together, and, you know, we would discuss things. She wants to be a lawyer. She's studying for the test. And we both take the bus. So we were walking towards the bus loop, and on the way I mentioned something that we had talked about previously a while ago, a little earlier on into the class, because we can't always walk together all the time, and then class was twice a week, and, you know, sometimes I might leave earlier than she does, she might leave later than I do, so sometimes we wouldn't always get to talk. So, but we had met after a little while. We were walking to the bus together, and we were talking, and I was mentioning something that she had mentioned before. I remembered what class she said that she was also taking another summer class, and I remember asking her, "Oh, how's your other class going?" And then she complimented me by saying, "Oh, you have such a great memory." whenever somebody compliments me in that sort of way where you compliment me on something that I think is just so simple, like, of course I'd remember. Why wouldn't I remember, like, important things about you? I think about people who are actually experts in that field and how behind I am behind them. There's a memory championship, there's some sort of competition, and, like, no, I don't have good memory, I don't have great memory. Maybe compared to you, I have a better memory, but overall, the average, I think I'm not very high. I might be below average, I don't know. So whenever you compliment me, that's where my mind goes. That's how I think about it, that's how I rationalize it. I don't think, oh, I probably do have a good memory because you said so. Like, I don't do that. That's not me. That's a habit or a quirk or a way of thinking that I have. Maybe you don't have it, but I know that you have this one. You definitely have this one. You don't take your own advice. If someone comes to you with a problem, you'll give them some advice, but you won't apply that own advice to yourself. You never take your own advice. I don't know why we do that, but we do that. We don't believe in our own advice for ourselves, but we believe it for someone else. Like, we believe that this other person, like, has to follow our advice. Like, I just dropped the best advice on you. I just gave it to you. But when it comes to yourself, you don't take the same advice. Let's say we have a friend. We're in the same class. And they sent in an assignment. It hasn't been marked yet. But when reviewing that assignment, they notice, like, oh my gosh, I didn't use the right citation style. I remember that the professor specifically said to use citing system A, but I use citing system B. Oh my gosh, what am I gonna do? And your advice might be, you know, don't worry about it. I'm sure the professor will understand. It's not that big of a deal. You did everything else correctly. You know, you cited 10 sources. It was 5 pages. It was double spaced. You did all the rest of this. You forgot. You know, citing, you know, you have all these classes. You have that club you're working on. You're all over the place. People make mistakes. You shouldn't worry about it too much. Just say to the professor that, you know, I'm sorry, I put in the wrong citation style. If you like, I can make it the correct one and send it back to you. But if it was me, if I made that mistake, I would not take that advice. I would be very critical and brutal on myself. Like, oh my gosh, you're such an idiot. How idiotic can you be to do that? The professor said it so many freaking times to use this citation style, and I didn't. Why? What happened? Why am I such an idiot? Why? That's what I would do. That's where my mind goes. Very negative thinking. But hey, we all have some negative thinking in our life. We're not. And if you are just like that positive, upright person, I remember Bill Burr said this once, like, I can't handle people's happiness. Well, that's not exactly how he phrased it. He said it differently. He said it in a better way. But there are some people who just have so much energy and are so positive that I just can't take it. I just find it too irritating, really. But let's forget about our failures, our mistakes, our errors, and let's listen to this next song from another person or another band I've played quite a few times on the show, from the album The Romance of Improvisation in Canada, from the artist, the genius of Elgin Rathburn. Yes, I said it correctly. Oh my gosh, yes. This song is called Cafe. No, that's not it. It's Club Cafe Tango. You know those times where you say one word first? Where when you read, like, a sentence, and even though it's written in a different way, you say it in a different way. I don't think I explained that correctly, but you know what I mean. This is Club Cafe Tango. Thank you.
Do you hate music? Are you at a loss for what to listen to these days? Tune in to Deliberate Noise for the latest and greatest rock, punk, underground, and local music. Your host Nina Panini and special guest Claire bring you high-energy tunes and unrelated chit-chat every Tuesday at 2 p.m. on CITR for free. So come get sweaty with us and get into your local music scene.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional and unceded territory of the Musqueam and Coast Salish people. Thank you for listening to me, Nitu Da, the host of this show. And next up at 9:30, we have Comedy Zygist. Thank you, and good morning, everybody.
CITR 101.9.
CITR 101.9 FM.
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 CITR.